Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
A very warm welcome to our worship this morning. It's good to have you with us here in person or at home. Just to say, this afternoon is Messy Church from 4, but it's in the Vicarage Garden. Anyone who's coming to that, heaven knows what chaos and mess we'll get into in the Vicarage Garden, but that's later on this afternoon. I've also got some banns to publish, some banns of marriage between Matthew Thomas Ferguson of the parish of Seacroft and Amy Smith, also of the parish of Seacroft. These are for the second time of asking. If any of you know a reason in law why they may not marry each other, you are to declare it now.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. This is what the Lord showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, "See, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, "Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land." And Amaziah said to Amos, "O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom." Then Amos answered Amaziah, "I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.' Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, thus says the Lord, 'Your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parcelled out by lying. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we attend to the readings a little bit, just a word about passing the peace, which we at the PCC on Tuesday decided to reintroduce. And we'd waited quite a long time because there's the sense that most other things you could reintroduce and it would be left to people's sort of discretion, whether they wanted to receive bread, wine, both, what, you know, whatever, one or the other. Whereas this one, I think we all had images of people approaching someone full of joy and peace and all those things with hands held out saying, the peace of the Lord be always with you, and someone on the other end going, oh no, not with me, because they didn't want to pass the peace in that way at this point. But we decided now was the time to do that. But obviously there are going to be people amongst us who aren't comfortable shaking hands. There are going to be those who are going to do the great, wonderful, all that sort of thing. Just be careful with each other. And the reason we're going to do it next week is it gives us a chance to think about it. And if you don't want to pass the peace, that's fine. We can just put your hands together, smile at someone and say, peace be with you. It's okay. That will count. And while I'm on about it as well, before we get back to the sort of unholy scrum down of passing the peace with people 3 miles down the road over there and all that sort of stuff, you remember that, don't you? It's worth just saying what it's about. We offer one another a sign of the peace, not with those people we like particularly, but with everyone. So if you're actually going out to find the people you like to say, peace be with you, you're missing the point. It's actually, you should almost go and find the people you don't like and pass the peace with them, because that's what it's saying, who we are. Now, you'll all be looking around next week saying, oh, look. Anyway, just a bit of background. That's from next week, so you've got a bit of time to think of it. Of course, if anyone wants to chatter with me, you're very welcome to do so. So let's look at these readings today. Well, it had been a time of growth. It had been a time of peace and stability. The kingdom of Israel had expanded. And this, I imagine, was the version of the truth that King Jeroboam and his supporters believed. Perhaps their belief was underpinned by a sense that God was blessing them, and yet they were supported perhaps by priests like Amaziah. And yet the prophet Amos, who was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees, was not convinced. He saw a different version of the truth. He saw that the prosperity and wealth was enjoyed by just a few. In chapter 2, he says, before what we've heard today, the head of the poor has been trampled into the dust of the earth. He saw that though some had grown rich and things looked good on the surface, all was not actually well. People were being left behind. But his words were not popular, and Amaziah, the priest, wants him out of the way. O seer, go flee away, he says. Does any of this sound just a little bit familiar? Stories of prosperity and wealth, alongside stories of poverty and inequality. Voices being silenced or ridiculed for speaking uncomfortable truths. And perhaps we are part of this even in a small way and find it easy to ridicule those who hold before us a different story from the one we like to hear. The stories perhaps of those who have nothing. Maybe, just maybe, beneath the surface we think people are poor because they've made the wrong choices or are a bit hopeless, and that if only they worked a bit harder they would be okay. And yet here we are challenged by the prophet to imagine what life would look like if we had nothing. If we felt trampled by society into the dust of the earth. If we never seemed to get ahead, never had enough money to pay the bills or put food on the table. Living as we do in an area of relative affluence, it's easy to live without a sense of what life might be like for those with nothing. And perhaps that's what annoyed Amos most. Not that there would be some with more than others, more that they lived their comfortable existence without any sense of what life might be like for others. And that takes me to the gospel and the lawyer wondering what he must do to inherit eternal life. His answer speaks of loving God and neighbour, but he wonders who his neighbour is. And so Jesus tells that memorable parable. And he did so perhaps because Jesus saw in him the same thing that Amos saw in those in power in his time, that they'd become blind to what being a good neighbor looks like. So Jesus speaks to those in authority, the people with power, a Levite and a priest. They walk by and ignore the plight of the beaten man, a neighbor in need. The Samaritan stops, though, and cares for the man, puts him back on his feet, and then some. Which of these three, Jesus asks, was a neighbor? The lawyer replies, the one who showed him mercy, or as another translation puts it, compassion. The Latin root of the word compassion means to suffer with. So when Jesus says, go and do likewise, he is saying something profound. Go, and to return to Amos, understand what it is to be at the bottom of the pile, to have nothing, no opportunity, no hope. Go and experience that kind of life and see what difference it makes to how you see the world. Whereas Amaziah wanted to send away the uncomfortable voice of Amos, Jesus invites us instead to have compassion. Of course, then as now, it's not easy. It's uncomfortable for us to think we might be wrong or have our prejudices overturned as we read between the lines of the newspaper stories and listen not uncritically to the stories we are told. It means seeing people not as a problem to be solved, but as a beloved and precious child of God. For that's what the Samaritan did. He simply saw the person before him as another human being in need. There were no forms to be filled in, no judgments made. He simply showed him mercy. He had compassion on him. And remember too how Jesus adds an extra twist to the story by making the one showing compassion a Samaritan. For Jews, whom we assume the beaten man to have been, and the Samaritans hated one another. Jesus then makes it clear that being a good neighbor is not limited to those who are like us, but has a universal quality. Followers of Jesus are to show mercy and compassion, be good neighbours to all. So friends, we should be challenged by these readings. I am. They should make us feel uncomfortable, for following Jesus invites us time and again to reimagine who we can be together and to not ignore the inequalities and injustices of our time. Just a few weeks ago, the bishops of the Church of England were in trouble for condemning a strand of the government's immigration policy, deporting people on a one-way ticket to Rwanda. Whether you agreed with the bishops or not, their motivation was right, for together they felt that the policy was wrong, a conclusion that came from a conviction rooted in how we love our neighbours as ourselves. The Archbishop said, "The details are for the politics and politicians, but the principle must stand, the judgment of God, and it cannot." No doubt these words likely cost him. The mailbags and inboxes at bishops' homes was likely full of those telling them not to mix politics and religion, but they followed in a great tradition, which Amos reminds us of today, that where injustice is seen, we cannot be silent. The lawyer stood up to test Jesus. He went away, it seems, having had his certainties overturned. Jesus, the great storyteller, had got under his skin, made him see for himself that mercy and compassion for our neighbours answers his question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So let us pray then for compassionate hearts, to not turn away from sisters and brothers in need, and love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our mind, and our neighbour as ourself. Amen.
Let us declare our faith in God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified in the Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven,
sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Let us pray. God of Isaac and Amos, we pray for your church across the world, for the times it holds the powerful to account on behalf of the powerless, whatever the cost. This week we pray for the Church of the Province of Uganda, for all who worship there, for all priests and bishops who minister to them, and for all upon whose lives the Church touches. In our own province, we pray for the Church of England's General Synod as it meets in York this weekend. We ask for your wisdom to guide those representing us, so that the debates and discussions might further the kingdom of God here on earth. And here in Whitkirk, we pray for all who will attend Messy Church this afternoon, that through fun and a sense of joy in worship, they might come closer to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you answer us in our distress and admonish us when we turn astray. We pray for our world, for those who cry out of thirst. We give thanks this week for the work of watering. Here in the UK, we pray for our government, for peace and stability. We pray for all who are struggling financially and for whom things may get worse. Grant wisdom to whoever is passed the baton of leadership to prevent or mitigate the looming crises. Inspire us all by your parable to give unconditional help to those we find in need, and the grace to accept help from those who offer it, whoever they are. Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Jesus among us, we pray for our community here in Whitkirk and beyond. We pray for the residents of Mead Close, for all who live there, and all whom they encounter in their lives. We give you thanks for the strong ties of friendship and community in this parish, for the families who live together, for the friends who laugh together, for the neighbours who look out for each other. Bless all who attend Thank God It's Friday this week with your spirit of fellowship, that those who need it might find warmth, welcome and refreshment after a long week. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, you are near to us and sustain us in whatever adversity we face. Shine the light of your presence upon all who suffer. We pray for victims of violent crime, whose ordeal may leave them physically broken and emotionally scarred. We pray for those who commit violent crimes, that they might come to repent and have their eyes opened to another way of life. And we pray for those whose acts of mercy to people they don't know save and transform lives. From our community this week, we pray for Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jeff Blowers, Sharon Clark, Beryl Laverick, Shane Simpson, Jeff Lidster, David Woodcock, Lynn Perry, and Roger Guy, together with those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mode. Extend your healing hands on them and bless all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
God of mercy, with you is the well of life. Remember for good all who have died. From our community, we hold before you Tom Crossfield, Marjorie Wilkinson, Betty Watson, Tina Doyle, who have recently died. Gather all the departed in gentleness and peace to the safety of your eternal kingdom, and comfort us, the mourning and the dying, with the hope of your promise of eternal life. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Look upon us in mercy, not in judgment. Draw us from hatred to love. Make the frailty of our praise a dwelling place for your glory. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, your eternal Word, who laid down his life for our salvation and rose from the grave, the first fruits of your new creation. You send forth your holy and life-giving Spirit to give life to our mortal bodies and to renew the face of the earth. Therefore, with all the heavenly hosts, we give voice to everything that you have made and sing the eternal hymn of praise. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise.
Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Jesus, Lamb of God,
God's holy gifts for God's holy people.
Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father.
Let us pray. Eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and healer of the broken, you have fed us at the table of life and hope. Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, that all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Fill us, good Lord, with your spirit of love, and as you have fed us with the one bread of heaven, so make us one in heart and mind, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water welling up to eternal life, perfect in you the image of his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.